You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Thursday, March 26th, 2020. I am your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. If you like this show, subscribe to it on your favorite podcast source and leave it a good review. It is time for our weekly mailbag show, so let's hop right into our first question. I still hope that the first pick is an offensive lineman. With that said, there is a possibility that it will either be CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. If that is the case, which of these two would you prefer to see the Jets pick up? And that's a tricky question because, you know, I think that they're both really good. So any preference I had would probably be marginal. I just think you're looking at two players with different styles that would bring different things to the table. I think that of the two, Jeudy is probably the more versatile, and I say that from the standpoint of where he can line up. I don't think CeeDee Lamb's ever going to be a guy who's you're going to stick in the slot a lot, whereas Jeudy has the ability to play in the slot. He can play outside, and he can play in the slot. He's got, you know, he's got the attributes you need to beat press coverage, even though he's a bit smaller than Lamb. And Judy's not small by any stretch of the imagination. I think that Judy's probably more of a technician than Lamb is. I think that when it comes to contested balls in the air, Lamb's probably better. I think when it comes to just pure route running ability, Jeudy is better. I think these guys are both players who are going to be very dynamic in the open field with the ball in their hands. So, I mean, I think you could go either way. I think that there's an argument to be made. Maybe Adam Gase would like Jeudy more because Adam Gase, you know, may not be the type of coach, you know, he's the type of coach who likes like the guys who can line up in the slot, the guys who are kind of shifty. But I think you could also make a case for Jeudy, for Lamb as an outside type of receiver. You know, I think both of these guys are going to bring a lot to the table, and I think that in some ways that they're pretty similar in the standpoint of their ability in the open field. I think both of them are not going to have a lot of trouble breaking press coverage if they line up on the outside. So I think, you know, I think for me at this point, and my opinion is always subject to change between now and the draft, I reserve the right to change my mind, but I think probably what you see now is what I'd say now is that Lamb's probably a guy who's going to be better on the 50-50 balls in the air. So that would be the case for him because, you know, sometimes Sam likes to put the ball in the air like that and let his receiver come down and make a play with it. And he has never really had a reliable option to do that, even though he throws some passes that are dangerous. So I think a guy from that standpoint, maybe Lamb would be the choice. Whereas, you know, again, in Gase's offense, Gase likes the slot guys who, and Jeudy's not a pure slot guy. He's not like a Jamison Crowder where he can only line up in the slot. I think he can move inside and outside. So from that standpoint, Jeudy might be a better fit. I mean, I don't think either of them, you could really go wrong with either of them. I think the issue I have more, and it may come, you know, Jets may not have a choice because they're picking 11th. They don't have all of the say in what will happen. I would prefer a tackle just because the general consensus seems to be, and the general consensus could easily be wrong. I'll leave that caveat, but the general consensus seems to be that this is a draft that's very top heavy at tackle, where there's a clear first tier of four guys, whereas the receiver position is much deeper. So if you wait until maybe round two or three, you can get a quality receiver, even if they're not on the Jeudy or Lamb level, there's a guy who's going to be close, whereas the gap between the top tackles and the second tier tackles might be a little bit greater. So I think from that standpoint, I'd probably prefer a tackle, but again, it comes down to who's available. It's because of that, there might be a early run on tackles, and the NFL is at a point now where everybody needs a tackle, so I would not be at all shocked to see the Jets' options limited a tackle at pick 11. So it may come down to a wide receiver, but I'm not really giving you a great answer because you asked which one I would prefer, but I guess at this point my answer is that I don't have a great preference. I think either of them would be perfectly fine as a selection. Next question, who are the ones who got away? All in all, Joe Douglas is doing an outstanding job this offseason. Looking at the players we didn't sign, who do you think we should have and could have signed? Who are the ones who got away? Anybody worth the stretch? Well, I think I'd look at the offensive line. Now, there was one they just did not have the option to get. It was a guy I thought the Jets would end up signing. It was Joe Tooney from New England, but I can't really say he's the one that got away because the Patriots franchised him when we were not expecting the Patriots to franchise him. So you can't really blame Joe Douglas for that one. And honestly, I just based on some of the buzz you were hearing, I kind of think if he had not been franchised, there's a good chance he would have ended up on the Jets. So I guess that one doesn't really count. A guy I really liked was Jack Conklin, who signed with Cleveland. And I felt like the Jets were probably going to be in on him, and it doesn't really sound like they were that interested. And I think he's a quality right tackle. Now, I hesitate a little bit because I think his final deal was around like $14 million a year. So it was not like a market resetting contract. And I would have thought that a guy like Conklin, now he's not that old. He was only drafted back in 2016. He was if you remember, the Titans traded down and then they traded up in 2016 and they picked Conklin, and he's only 25. He's going to be 26 by the time the season starts. So the reason I'm not going to criticize the Jets all that much at this point for passing on Conklin is that he did not get the type of market resetting deal you would expect a proven 26-year-old tackle would get, which makes me wonder, you know, if teams weren't willing to go, and if nobody was willing to go higher than $14 million, which is obviously $14 million a year is a pretty good salary. I would take a $14 million a year salary. But in terms of free agency, at a position where there's so, where like everybody has a need, like such as tackle in the NFL, the fact that they could not get like a deal that totally changed the market, you know, make him the highest paid tackle, it makes me wonder a little bit, is there something the NFL knows that we don't? So that's why I hesitate to criticize the Jets. That would probably be my answer. But I don't want to criticize them too much just because something seems off there, the fact that he could only get around $14 million a year. I think that there's just something there that leads me to give the Jets the benefit of the doubt on that one. I guess the real answer might be Graham Glasgow, who's a quality interior lineman. He signed with the Denver Broncos. So my focus is, as you know, my focus has been on the offensive line extensively this offseason. So I think, you know, any offensive lineman the Jets did not sign, they signed some decent ones, but any offensive lineman the Jets did not sign, for me, I guess, will be the one that got away. Locked On Jets podcast here on a Mailbag Thursday. Our next question. John, I was one of those who wanted us to keep Robbie Anderson, but since he's moved on, so have I. That said, assuming the last 4 to 5 games were no fluke, how do you see Perryman fitting into the Jets' passing game? Is he a speedy downfield threat, or is he more of a possession-type guy like Jamison Crowder? Either way, we still need another receiver in the draft. Well, I think Perryman was signed specifically to replace Robbie Anderson, so I think he's going to be a deep threat. Now, there's this legend, which I'm not sure is actually true. There's this legend about him running a 40 time that was in the 4-1 range. But I think that was like hand timed by a scout. And of course, when you have a human being with a stopwatch, there's some margin for error. So I don't know that I necessarily believe that Perryman ran a 4.140, but you know, there's talk of him being in the 4.2 range. So he's very fast. So I would expect the Jets to see him utilize him more as a downfield threat type of guy. I expect him to pretty much play on the outside, and I get the feeling the Jets probably rated him and Robbie Anderson about equally. In fact, now this is not me telling you this happened. This is just me making an educated guess, but the way things played out, I almost wonder whether the Jets put the same offers in front of Perryman and Anderson or something similar and just said the first guy to take it gets the offer. Because that's kind of the way it seemed to me. If the Jets were not willing to match Anderson's offer, then it shows you they did not think that highly of him. And the deal they gave Perryman was, it's one of those deals that's kind of like, it seems like it was in the ballpark, but it wasn't what Anderson got in Carolina. So I think, you know, just piecing things together, it seems to me like the Jets probably offered Anderson something along the lines of what they ended up giving Perryman, because I think they view them as the same player. And I think because of that, Perryman will probably take on a similar role to what Robbie would have had. And I'm going to just slightly disagree with one of your statements about how the Jets need to draft a receiver. And the only reason I'll disagree with it is I'll say, you know, why not two? I think that this is set up for the Jets to double dip, because there are so many good receivers in this draft, and they have 4 picks in the first 3 rounds at this point. I would like to see the Jets get two receivers out of the first 2 days of the NFL draft this year, because they need to start bringing in some talented pass catchers who can develop chemistry with Sam Darnold. You know, you want to have receivers who grow with your quarterback. So I say this is a spot, I would almost say second only to offensive line at this point. As much as there are needs on the defensive side of the football, I put offense above that, because we're trying to develop a quarterback right now. That's the most important thing, and it's not ideal to give Greg Williams, you know, some shaky edge rushers and not a great group of corners again, but you know, he made it work last year. So, and if you build up the offense, if you support your quarterback, he can put points on the board, and that means your defense doesn't have to be as good to win games. So I would like to see the Jets, and it always depends on how the board falls. There might be a guy at another position who's just too good to pass on when draft day comes. You might run into a situation where there's a surprising run on wide receivers early and none of the good guys are still there when you're picking. But my view on this is I don't think Breshad Perriman is good enough that he's preventing me from taking two receivers in the early going. He's on a one-year deal. He's a guy who you're looking to prove that he can play. So I don't think Breshad Perriman changes my draft strategy at all. And to be honest with you, I don't think Robbie Anderson would have changed my draft strategy either. So I think wide receiver is still a pretty big need for the Jets. In fact, I still don't know who's starting across from Perriman. So I think of the three receivers the Jets have right now, you've got Perriman on the outside, you have Crowder in the slot, but who's the third guy? So I think they need to get to work on that. They need to get to work on finding a third receiver for this offense. Next question. Isn't it great to see the Jets enacting what appears to be a clear plan? Even more so, this is an approach that people deem necessary for the team to be successful. I can't remember the last time this occurred. Yeah, and I'm going to make this point right now. I think there are two elements that I always follow in free agency. Is the individual move good? And is it part of a bigger plan that's good? And that's a big distinction from last year, because last year my issues with Mike Maccagnan were that I thought the plan was terrible. This year, if I am critical of a Joe Douglas move, it's just because I disagree with him on the way he values a certain player. And that's a big difference from saying, like, your approach stinks. That's a big difference because, look, I could certainly be wrong. I think Joe Douglas knows how to scout better than I do. I could be wrong on one of those evaluations. You know, just having a good plan does not guarantee you success in the NFL. That alone does not mean that you're going to get where you want to go. But without a good plan, you can't go anywhere. So it's going to come down to whether or not he's made the proper evaluations, whether he's found the right value players, and we can't say for sure at this point one way or the other. More than that, it's going to come down to, can he draft effectively? Can he get the game-changing type players to the Jets who will really move the needle for this team? But there's at least the framework of a good plan. And that's a big difference, because the plan Mike Maccagnan had no shot of working. The whole, you know, spend on big names, load up at linebacker, that was never going to work. This plan, if executed properly, can work. And I can't think of the last time, you go back, Maccagnan had a terrible plan. Itzik's broad strokes of his plan were okay, but there were some really bad moves by Itzik. Tannenbaum was only short-sighted thinking. Terry Bradway wasn't. I don't have an answer for you. Maybe Parcells, although Parcells was a great coach. He was not as great of a general manager as he was a coach, though. So yeah, it's been a long time since it at least felt to me like the Jets really had a sound plan. Now the key is executing the plan effectively. You can have a good plan, but you have to execute it. That's the key. Locked On Jets podcast here on a Mailbag Thursday. Our next question: would you give Jadeveon Clowney a one-year deal at his price point, $21 million a year? I would not, and I'll tell you why. My answer would be different if unused cap space disappeared from year to year. If it was a situation where if you do not use cap space, you lose it all, everybody gets a blank slate next year. In the NFL, when you don't use cap space, you can carry it over to the next year, and that cap space is added to your total for the following season. So even though it's a one-year deal with Clowney, at that price point, $21 million, that's $21 million I cannot carry over to next year. And that's a lot of money for 1 year of Jadeveon Clowney. And I'm not saying that I would never sign Clowney to a one-year deal, but I still think that even though it's a one-year deal, the price matters, because Clowney at, I don't know, $13 million a year, that's one thing. But $21 million a year, that's $8 million a year. You know, that's a big difference. So that's a lot of money, no matter any way you slice it. Again, if it was a situation where all of my unused cap space disappeared the next year, and not using it meant that I was wasting it, I would have a different answer for you. But that's a lot of money to invest in 1 year of Jadeveon Clowney, and that's money that's gone for next year. So because of that rule, because the NFL now has teams carrying over cap space from year to year, my answer would be no on that one. Next question. I like the idea of signing a bunch of solid guys without stars. It's worked for Bill Belichick. Do you think it can work for the Jets? Yes, it can work for the Jets, and I almost think that it's probably the only approach that can work in the NFL because of the way the rules are set up right now. I think in other sports you can have different approaches to building a successful team. I don't think that there's any other way to build in the NFL right now. It comes down to two things, really. It comes down to, one, will Sam Darnold pan out? And the Jets have some say in that based on how they build around him and the support they provide him. And two, it comes down to, can they draft difference makers? And I think part of the problem with the Jets in previous regimes is that they've tried to get their difference makers through free agency. And free difference makers very rarely make it into free agency in the NFL. So you have to find them in the draft. The Jets have done a lousy job drafting. They also have not done the things you need to do, like accumulate extra picks, build in some margin for error, give yourself extra chances to find a special player. So yes, it can work. And again, that goes back to my statement. I think they have a good plan. Now the question is, can they implement the plan effectively? And our last question, John, longtime reader, occasional commenter, love the podcast and post. Which guys do you see taking the next big step in development? Most people would say Quinn and Williams, but I really like Cashman. Not sure if he'll get the playing time to be a starter, but I think he's capable of starting. Really liked what he did when he had playing time last year. I think Cashman was up and down last year. I thought the first start he had against Cleveland was really good. I think there were games after that where he was a problem, where he was not effective against the run, where he was beaten a few times in coverage. But I really liked Cashman as a prospect. And forgive me if I've said this before, but I remember like last year as I was studying some guys who were prospects, and I thought Cashman was, it kind of sounded like Cashman was heading to be like a day two pick, and there was no way the Jets could use a day two pick on a linebacker. And I remember like watching him and thinking, man, it's too bad the Jets can't get that guy, because it'll make no sense for the Jets to draft him where he'll be picked. And then he fell all the way to the fifth round, and you know, at the fifth round, you might as well take him if you think he could be a player. So I do like Cashman, but I'm going to go with the obvious answer and say Quinnen Williams, because I think Quinnen Williams is underrated right now by a large portion of the fan base. I think that his rookie year, people are very down on him after the play he showed on the field his rookie year. I don't think it was as bad as people think, and a lot of players grow quite a bit between year one and year two, and that excludes all the stuff that's going on. I'm only talking on the field right now with Quinnen Williams, but I think on the field this is a guy who really people are maybe selling him a little bit short when they talk about the type of disruptive player he can become. That's all for our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like our show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Have a great Thursday, everybody. We will be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.